Making the world a better place one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the... Well, it's a little loud. All right, thank you. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It seems as if I'm going to have to kind of adjust the volume a little bit because it's a little loud in my ear. Can anybody do that? Okay, let's see. Okay, trying to do this. All right, we can bring it down a little bit. Okay, that's a little bit better. It was kind of loud in my ear. Anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, everybody. Thanks for being here. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. It is such a great day out here, folks. I mean, it's cool. But it's spring-like weather. It's a little cool for just about the end of April. And it's a great day in America, I think. It's a great day. As long as we're here on Earth and we're not blown off, we're not going to be blown off, it's great. It's wonderful. I'm trying to connect this show to Twitter, Facebook, and what else? Blog Talk Radio. I don't think it's going to do Facebook, but I'm pretty sure that they're out there someplace. Okay, we're going to do this again. All righty. Okay, let's go back here again. All right, we got it. Your book is heard on the George Wilder Jr. Show, author Justice Onoye. All right, we did do something like that last week, and we're going to try and call off as many books as we can. We got over 100. Maybe more, 200, 300, but I'm going to do what I can for the entire week. And I think it's a good thing. It's wonderful. It's something different. It's something different. I thought of myself to do it since I'm an author, and most of the people I have on the show are authors, and most of the people who I know are authors. So why not just do something nice for them to do this? So throughout the here and there throughout the show, I will mention a book or two until all the way up to Thursday of this month, April. And we're going to try to do this. If it works out, if it's positive, if it's a good thing, we'll be doing it like every other month or so. Okay? It will be doing it every other month because it's a segment that I'm trying to bring into the show. But if it doesn't work, then we're going to, try something else. But anyway, we'll see if this works. So we have about 106 people, maybe 106, 160, 100,006, who knows? All right, we do have a lot of people, and we're going to be doing this periodically throughout the show, not all at once, not all at once. So your book will be here, so I'm going to mention it. All right, so welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is 3 minutes after 6 Central Standard Time in the city of Chicago. Let's see, what was this? There's always something popping up on the computer that's not supposed to be popping up on the computer. Let's hope we don't have any interruptions, no technical difficulties, because that happens. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, hear your book mentioned on the George Wilder Jr. Show this week, Monday through Thursday, April 7th, 15 to April 20th, okay, 2017, because of the amount of people submitting their books, the links to their books. If you don't hear your book the first time, tune in the next day and you might hear it. And I promise to try to get to all of them before the week is out. Okay. So if you don't hear your book mentioned on the show today, you know, try tomorrow, the next day and the next day. And we're going to do it for a whole week. And we're going to try and get it. I'm just going to read them off the computer screen here. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to do anything more or less. All right. Like I said, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. My guest is supposedly, hopefully, Justice Onoye is going to be on the show. Let's see, what will she be talking about? Let's see. All right, the coming apocalypse. Apocalypse. Okay. Okay, that should be interesting. Like I said, folks, I have all kinds of people on the show. All my guests are... all kinds of people who have something to offer, whether it's sane or insane. And I'm not saying she's insane, but I like to hear points. I like to hear things from all people. I have one lady on the guests on the show, one lady who was a guest on the show. She was telling me she rose above her body and her dead body. You know, I didn't laugh at her. I didn't do any of that. I mean, people are people. It's nice to hear stories like that. Even if you have an open mind, just have an open mind. And I have an open mind when I hear people talk about witchcraft or seeing themselves float above their bodies and seeing themselves dead or whatever. It was one lady I had a few months ago, and she really she was out there. She was out there. And but you know, I didn't make fun of her. I didn't criticize her. I just thanked her for her contribution to the show, and I asked her back. You know, I mean, it doesn't mean that I believe in some of these outrageous things that I've never experienced and you've never experienced, but you know, these people are people and they deserve a right to tell their story, and that's what it's all about. I mean, you come on this show to tell your story, whether it's one that's believable or whatever. You know, I mean, you, if it gets too outrageous, I'm not going to cut anybody off. I'm just going to let them go ahead on and do what they have to do. You know what I mean? Because this is a show where we try to make the world a better place. And most of the time people come on this show, they have something to contribute to trying to make the world a better place. And that's what it's all about. The George Wilder Jr. Show is about trying to make the world a better place. And I say trying because we have Trump and Pence, and we have nuclear test, and we have threats and talks and talking about bombing each other out, and Trump telling Korea they better behave, gotta behave, or something to that effect. I'm trying to quote him. I mean, we are living in some really bad times here, folks. We are, I mean, every breath we take, every, you know, step that we take, we have to thank our lucky stars that we're still here. Smithereens. I mean, we've got a administration. We don't know what the hell's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 months. We just had a Sunday Easter. Will we be here to have another Easter? We don't know. Oh, I got my cup of coffee here, folks. I haven't had a cup of coffee in a while, but I finally braved up and cup of coffee. All right, I'm going to say this again, author Justice Onoye. We had a great week. I had so much fun last week on the show. So much fun. I was just talking about this and that, and we were doing this and that and everything. Great guest was here. And that was really, really wonderful. All right, it's 6:08 straight up Chicago time. We are going to be talking about a few things before we get to mentioning books. There's been another shooting on the Chicago Red Line. If you don't know what the Red Line is, that's the city's train stations, the city train station, CTA, Chicago Transit Authority. the train, the subway trains in the city of Chicago that just, you know, people commute around the city on these trains. And these, a lot of people don't take these trains, and I don't really blame them, because there's a lot of crime on these trains. On this, if you're standing on the platform or something, you could get robbed, or someone could come along and that's pissed off and push you onto the tracks. You know, it is very, very dangerous up there, and I don't see why CTA doesn't take this seriously, this crime seriously that's happening in the city of Chicago on these subway trains. And the crime is up, and a lot of people aren't going to be riding the trains too much because they're afraid of that they may get hurt or robbed, which is more likely to happen, because it is happening and it happens all the time. The crime in the city of Chicago is just out of control in my book. I don't see the police doing anything about anything. I mean, Easter weekend, I mean, it was just a bloodbath. And it makes you wonder, where the hell is the police? Where the hell is the police? All this, I mean, throughout, I mean, 2017 has already surpassed 2016 in the homicide rate. In the homicide rate. This is crazy. We have all these police officers, and all this crime is constantly happening. Somebody, I've been talking about this for the last 2 or 3 years, and all it does is it gets worse. And the police superintendent Eddie Johnson, especially our mayor Emmanuel, he's just immune to this. I mean, he doesn't even talk about the crime situation in the city of Chicago. He doesn't even make it, and I've said it a million times, he should make crime his first priority, but this guy does not. It's always something he's jumping to, something he's doing. I guess he's leaving solving crime to his police department, and it's failing. They've been under investigation. They've been under federal investigation. And for police brutality and not doing their jobs properly and not being trained properly and not knowing how to address and accost people with disabilities. These people are just, you know, some of the cops are just trigger happy, macho, you know, they want, just because they're out on the street, they think they can control you. But, you know, the bottom line is that Chicago's got to get its act together when it comes to solving crime, because it's only getting worse. And you tell yourself, why are we paying these police officers? The city, the citizens of Chicago, the people of Chicago, why are we paying these police officers when they're not doing their jobs? If they were doing their jobs, I would not be here criticizing them. Of course, they're not going to criticize themselves. They have. Even Superintendent Eddie Johnson has said that they need to do better. I'm quoting him. He said, well, we need to do better. Well, they haven't done better so far. And this was months and months and months ago. Because people are constantly dying. People are constantly in fear of not leaving their homes for thinking that they may not come back. And that's always a possibility. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It's 12 after the hour, 6 o'clock. We're going to do this thing at about around 6:15 Chicago time. And it should be fun. It should be fun. And be kind to one another out there. No matter what is going on in your life, be kind to one another. It's being kind, saying hello, saying how you're doing, speaking, checking on the older person, checking on seniors. That's not so difficult. You know, that's not so difficult. So be kind to one another. Be thoughtful. Be graceful. And be giving. You know, I'm not saying you got to give up everything you got, but when I say giving, I don't actually mean giving in a financial sense. I mean, you can give of your time, you can give of yourself, give of your knowledge, give of your education, teach. You know, it doesn't always have to be dollars that you coming up with to give this. I mean, it probably would help, but I think more of your time, more of your efforts, more of yourself is more important, is a lot better than giving of money. You know, people may need a shoulder to cry on. People may need someone that they can talk to, you know. So be kind to one another out there, all right? Just be nice. All right. Back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, Feeding the Hungry. We've done a lot of that over the weekend. We've done that on Christmas. We've done it on Easter. We've done it on Thanksgiving. It is such a great thing and a great thought when you feel that you are helping out there in some way in your community, helping people who need help. And I always said, if you couldn't help somebody, and I've always said, if you can't help somebody, what are you here for? And I still believe that. I still believe that. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here on Black Dog Radio. Follow me on what is it? Instagram. yeah, I'm there too. Google Hangouts. That's a new one. I didn't understand that one for a while, but I think I got a grasp of it now. All right, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with
services
me.
Services paid for through the Ukrainian president's political party.
I think it's not.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's get this started. My Brother's Journey by Rod Roberts. We're calling off, we're mentioning books on the show. Okay, bestseller. This breathtaking historical novel of action and sequence is set in the year of 71 AD amid exotic and vibrant streets of ancient Rome. The Sign Eagle by Jess Stevens Hughes on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Check it out, folks. Check it out. Published by Sunbury Press. I need my glasses. All right. Bestseller, The Sign Eagle by Jess Stevens Hughes. All right, on the George Wilder Jr. Show, Natasha Carmen, Red Karma, a memoir. All righty, here we go. All right, Wes Wright, Greece, Macedonia Passage, Dangerous Cargo, Amazon.com. Carmen James, author. Caroline James, author. My Fault, Coffee, Tea, The Caribbean, and Me. I like that title. Coffee, Tea, The Caribbean, and Me. A feel-good novel of friendship and love. Also on Amazon. All righty. Let's go to the next one. Okay. All right. We got so many of these things to call out. Let's see if we can do this. View more. All righty. The George Wilder Jr. Show is out now on the air. Okay. Doug Keeler. Thanks, George. You're welcome. Bright Passage by Doug Keeler on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Tanya Messingberg, The Heart of the Matter. The Heart of the Matter. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Red Gold, Robert D. Kidora, if I pronounced the name correctly. Okay. Also, I believe it's also on Amazon. Okay. Forever Bound. Okay. All righty. Philip Ragon. Okay. The Machine Book One. The Machine Book One, Resurrection. Philip Ragon. All righty. Kendra Souder. I have a ton. Any genre you prefer? No, not really. Okay. We have a book called Trailer Trash. Rick Johnson. Amazon, exactly. All right, author Denise Coleman, Snatched Away. That sounds interesting. It's on Amazon. Okay, all right. Odella Flores, The Heart of Darkness. It's on Amazon. Check it out. Harlem Sun, The Life and Times of K. Wendell Thornburn. If I'm pronouncing that right, it's on Amazon. All righty. Let's go down. A Grave for Kings, Book One of the Torchlight Histories. Okay, that's Joe Walter. This is answering someone's awesome gesture. Thank you. All right, I'm getting a lot of thanks for this, and I'm not knowing if I'm doing it right, but I'm trying. All right, Patrick Feenan, I Want to Live. That's great. Okay, Patrick Feenan, I Want to Live. Okay, he has another one here, I think. All righty. Fanny Marie, Camp Nightmare, a short story. I love short stories. Working Class Hero. Okay, I'm just reading these off the internet. Okay, I'm just reading this off Facebook, so it's nothing professional or anything. Okay, James Robert Smith. He's telling me about his latest novel, Working Class Hero. It's on Amazon. All right. Terry W. Irving II, Relic Tech. All right. It's on Amazon. Vinnie Hansen. Okay. He's on Amazon. Okay. Oh, some of these names I can't read. Joshua Cox. He's Prey to the Unwangs. I can't pronounce it. Okay. And it's fun mentioning people's books on the show. All right. Diane Dimitri. Okay. Her book is Dance of Love, Book One and Two and Three and Four, I guess. Okay. Keith D. Guernsey, Fathers and Sons, Sports and Life. It's on Amazon. Broken Bastard. Susan Hornsnail. Thank you, George. Broken Bastard. That's a great title. That's one that makes you want to run and just see what it's about. Okay, Love Lies and Mixed Emotions. Okay, all of this stuff is on Amazon, so most of it is. Holland Ray, A Duel of Hearts, The Royal Rakes, Book One. Okay. All right, Sherry Ribbonwitz. Thank you, George. Entering My Second Half. It's on Amazon also. It's on Amazon. All of this stuff is on Amazon. Randall Chadwick. His book is, let's see, this is a non-fictional humor written by a stand-up comedian. Okay, he's a stand-up comedian. And the name of the book is Dangerous Toys. All right, let's go to the next one. And it's on, I'm assuming it's on Amazon too. All right, we've got Desh Dixon. Her book is Queens Don't Settle, A Book of Poems to Empower Women. You can find that on Amazon. It looks from here to be a five-star. Obviously, a book of poems. I love poems. That's great. That's wonderful. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder doing the show. We're going to be back with more of calling out these books on having these books on my radio show. This is great. This is wonderful. We'll be back, folks. Stay with us.
Johansson is speaking right now here in Washington. I want to listen in.
And when the time came for STD and cancer screenings, no judgment, no questions asked, Planned Parenthood provided a safe place where I could be treated with gentle guidance. Now, I may have been 15 and surprisingly self-sufficient, but I'm sure there isn't one person here who has not been helped by Planned Parenthood directly or otherwise. When I knew I was coming to speak on behalf of women's reproductive and health issues, every single one of my girlfriends had a story about Planned Parenthood. They saved me so many times. One of my best girlfriends confided in me, saying, "They saved my ass and some other parts too." When I found out I had precancerous signs I never would have known about without my annual checkups, and her speech grew more emphatic and emotional as she described how the organization had helped her decide between treatment options, she was able to make some difficult decisions, deciding what was right for her body, and her then partner, without anyone else's interference. My sister also used Planned Parenthood services for years after moving states. She'd been living her whole life in New York City, pursuing her dream to move to California. She had no contacts and no health insurance, but was able to regularly see a doctor at a Planned Parenthood clinic for screenings, advice, birth control, and checkups. For the more than 2.5 million patients a year that rely on Planned Parenthood services for cancer and STD screenings, birth control, safe abortion, and pregnancy planning, these are uncertain and anxious times. Lawmakers in 24 states have tried to block patients from receiving care at Planned Parenthood. Congress has voted to limit access to reproductive services 9 times. Boo. Yes, boo. There are very real and devastating consequences to limiting access to what should be considered basic health care. For millions of Americans, Planned Parenthood is often the only trustworthy and affordable clinic providing safe education, sex education, safe abortion, and life-saving services. President Trump, I did not vote for you. That said, I respect that you are our president-elect, and I want to be able to support you. But first, I ask that you support me. Support my sister, support my mother, support my best friend and all of our girlfriends. Support the men and women here today that are anxiously awaiting to see how your next moves may drastically affect their lives. Support my daughter. who may actually, as a result of the appointments you have made, grow up in a country that is moving backwards, not forwards, and who may potentially not have the right to make choices for her body and her future that your daughter Ivanka has been privileged to have. I ask you to support all women and our fight for equality in all things, including the fight to be recognized as individuals who know better for ourselves what is right for our bodies, better than any elected official, popular or otherwise. It is a great honor for me to be speaking here in front of all of you today. After the result of this November's election, I felt as a woman, as an American citizen, a great weight bearing down on my shoulders, the feeling that the near future would present many obstacles, confrontation, and division. My immediate thought after hearing the election results was, oh man, we have so much work to do. But once the heaviness began to subside, I realized that an opportunity has presented itself to make real long-term change, not just for future Americans, but in the way that we view our responsibilities to get involved with and stay active in our communities.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Right. This is Justice Anonye.
Yeah. And you're going to be talking about the apocalypse?
That's correct.
Something to that effect? Okay. Let me introduce you to my audience, all right? Everybody out there, this is Justice Anoye on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and he has a lot of, and he's going to be telling us something interesting about the apocalypse. Go right ahead. Can you give us a little bio of yourself and tell us what you've been doing?
Yeah, now my name, like I said, is Justice Anoye, as you already mentioned, and I am a native of Ghana. I studied English, sociology, and migrated to the U.S., and here I am now. The Lord had asked me to write this book, and basically this is what I've been working with, working on for the past 2 years now. And it's very inspiring that I'm doing this today. So basically, I'm all out to, alert the world about this. So this is my main goal now, and what I do now, that's making people understand and knowing that there is something coming ahead of us. So this is just a little bit about who I am and, pointing it out that way.
Yeah, I agree. I do think something's coming. I mean, we got a new administration in America that, something's totally coming. if you call it the apocalypse or something else, but it's coming. I mean, it's going to affect everybody, if not kill us.
That's right. You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay,
go ahead, sir, please. Go ahead.
No, you go right ahead. I mean, you're the guest.
No, you are hosting me, so talk to me, please.
You need some help. Okay.
That's right.
All right. What do you, what made you want to, do this, be a part of this? Do you feel that we're all in some sort of great danger, and we should be prepared for this? Do you think we should be prepared for this?
That is just the main goal of this book. Uh-huh. The world, not just remoted to America, the world at large. There is something huge coming to hit, to hit the world, And mm-hmm. what the Lord had produced, and a lot of people don't like when you make mention that God reveals something to you, because, you know, to establish this, many people don't believe there is God. And so it's hard for people to really understand where you're coming from. You know, it's like a child seeing a ghost all the time and pointing to his parent. I saw a ghost, but they wouldn't see it. And then suddenly something happens to the child, and it happens that what he or she had been saying for, you know, quite some time is true. You know, so that is how I look at it. A lot of people see somebody who says he hears from God as odd and as, you know, blaspheming, all there is no God. Let's just make it say it that way, that there is no God. And so it's hard for them to really believe when the truth is pointed out to them. See, the problem is this: the world is going to face, you know, some kind of disaster that had never been recorded in the history of man before.
And it is somehow inevitable. I believe you.
You know, it's inevitable. And the root cause of this problem is this: many people have turned away from what they generated from. We all came from somewhere. Like I already established, and I made that clear, because I want to base on that to really say something here. A lot of people think that, oh, the way I am living my life is okay. This is how I should live my life. A lot of people say this is how we should live our lives. Many people had gone different ways. A lot of people are doing different things, and these different things we are all doing is causing the creator of the world. It's like he looks at all these things we are doing. All he sees is nothing but violence. All he sees is nothing but, you know, corruption. And this is something we should note here in the book of Genesis. That is one thing that happened before he destroyed the earth with flood. He looked down upon the earth, and he saw that there was violence in the earth. There was violence, there was evil, corruption. And he said to Noah, build the ark, for I am coming so quickly, because the cry of the world, the cry of the earth has reached up to me because of the violence that men uphold and because of the corruption. And look, this is the same thing we see today in the world. God is the owner of this world. You and I are just passerby. We are nobody here. We are strangers. The world doesn't belong to us, because if it does, those who are foreparents would have still be alive today. But because it is not for us, we come, we go, we come, we go. And so the owner of it is set out now to do something that had never happened before. You know, the time of Noah, He actually used flood to destroy the earth, but he sworn by himself that he's not going to use flood again. He's going to use fire this time. And we see that God using fire is even dangerous, more dangerous than even flood, because the flood time, I assume that people, you know, climbed up to trees before the flood get to them, and they climbed to their rooftop before it gets there. They climbed to the mountains, so it took them days to die. But here is something more deadlier than that. Now, the issue here is this: the time of Noah, the violence was so high, and it was so, I don't know what adjective to use now, but it was so evil that God said, no, I want to destroy the earth. Now, compare that time to this time. We see the advancement in technologies. We see the advancement in all kinds of, you know, inventions, and all these inventions are all contributing to more violence, even worse than when during the time of Noah. Because the time of Noah, we don't have such things like, you know, measles that some, you know, they can drop and then take thousands of lives at the same time. Those times it wasn't like that. All these things are violent, and this is why God is coming, who owns the world, is coming to take it. So this is what he has shown to me, that is coming so quickly, and people must sit up and know, get themselves prepared, you know, to avoid this evil from getting to them or from being consumed in this evil here and after. So this is the major point this book is driving home, that people sit up and know that this very same thing that happened in the past, because a lot of people say that things that happened before don't happen again. But I see, I'm a Bible scholar, I see so many things that even within the Bible that was prophesied, and they came to pass in the Bible, and they came to pass again, and they came to pass. And we see all these prophecies that had been said in the scriptures, every one of them fulfilling today. Each one of them fulfilling, but it's like people don't really pay close attention to what is happening. People don't attribute it to, this is the hand of God. We all think it is normal, it is natural, it is what it is. This is just, you know, one of those things about life. But it is not so. It's because people have left the endorsed pathway of God and gone their own different ways. It's like,
yeah, you, I totally agree.
It's just like you, for instance, you see yourself with your children, you tell them, child or sons and daughters, I don't want you to go here. I don't want you to go. And they left that advice and went elsewhere and went to the exact place you asked them to. How would you feel as a father? You feel your children are not obedient to you, regardless your expenditures for them, regardless all you've been doing for them, accommodating them, feeding them, yet they wouldn't listen to you. How is your reaction going to be toward them? Now, let's transfer that reaction to God. This is the same way God feels when he says to us, do this, and we don't want to do them. And we see that the commandments and the laws of God that makes him God, that when we uphold, makes us his children, we have abandoned them and gone our own different ways. So these are the things that is really pricking the heart of God, that he has now made up his mind. I don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know either, but something very evil is coming upon the world. And
so
to keep it short this way, this is just all about my book.
Yeah. Justice, do you think, so basically you're saying the end of the world is coming because people have turned away from God. You're saying that the end of the world is coming. Am I right on that?
You are very correct. You are very correct about that. You see, the Bible had always been saying it. It has been documented and it is still in the Bible, which cannot be erased, that the world is coming. The world is coming to an end. It's coming to an end. Mm-hmm. You know, I've talked with a lot of people, and what their reaction always is, you know, toward me is this, that, you know, it had always been said that the world is coming to an end. It never comes to an end. But see, God has planned for everything. Sometimes we think that it's going to happen immediately, but no, he knows this. He knows what he's waiting for. He knows those he wants to save. He knows those he thinks have fallen from the faith, and he wants to bring them up again so that they don't miss that, you know, endorsed path, or they don't miss heaven. So the world is coming to an end with all these evils. Look for yourself. Take a look around you. Look into the society. Let's take America. This is where we are now. This is our home now. Take a look into the society. What is happening? Children killing parents. Parents killing children. Why is all these things happening? Because people have turned away from God. Because if we keep the words of God and the commandments of God, you would know, I as a child would know that God commands me to respect my parents and listen to them. I as a
yeah,
father
I totally,
knows that
it's, yeah, go ahead, I totally please. Agree with it. I totally agree with the things you're saying. People have turned away from God. You got more atheists out here than ever before. People who once believed in God don't believe in God anymore, or Jesus. They think it's some sort of joke. And you got people, the churches and the synagogues, they're not, you know, as crowded. The congregation is not there anymore. Some of these churches go empty every Sunday because people are doing other things instead of, you know, in the church, asking for forgiveness and stuff like that. And I wanted to say that I wrote a book. I'm an author just like you are. I wrote a book, and I, the title of that book, it's an ebook, and it's also a paperback. I wrote a book called Jesus Christ, the Son of Man Returns. It's fictional, but I base that book on a lot of the premises that you're talking about, the evilness in the world, the wars, the killing, the bombings, all of this kind of thing. I base it on all of that kind of thing. I've based it on, I got my fictional pompous pilot, you know, in the book. And I got Jesus coming back to, instead of the Middle East, to the United States, because this is where the corruption is. This is where the hate is. This is where the abomination is. And people do not give a damn. They do not care. And this is where all the vile is. So it's fictional, but Jesus coming back for a second time. It's fictional, but it's based on reality. I think it's based on reality, and it follows some of the same paths as the Bible does and some of the same path as some of these movies. It's just strictly entertainment, but it was just strictly entertainment, but I put it in a way where it's also real, you know. Let's say if he comes back, you know, it will be something similar to that. I'm not sure, but you're right about one thing. I don't think the world is going to be able to stand much longer. There is just too much hate, too much violence, too much corruption, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. A house against itself cannot stand.
And that is what I wanted to say. Jesus made that comment. You know, if you remember, he stated that, that a kingdom divided against itself would never stand.
Yeah.
And even in the church, let's be real. Let's face the fact. Even within the church is divided against itself. See, I don't know how to put it, but I'm a researcher. When I say I'm a spiritual researcher, I've been to many churches, and one thing I have seen so common about churches today is this, and that is why the church, if the church is not careful, they will lose even eternal life, because Jesus said, "These are the synagogues of Satan." And why would Jesus say that? Because all these evils are even in the churches today. When you go to a church, I've been to many churches, you know, just sparring and seeing and proving God right, you know, that his words are ever true. Every church has a different pattern of worshiping. When I say worshiping, of tradition, let's use that term. They have their own tradition. This is how we do it in this church. This is how we do it in this church. This is how we do it in this church. It's no longer based on the scriptures. And you see, this is why many people are still going blind, even though they are Christians, because this person is teaching something different. That person is teaching what is different. Another person is teaching something different. And this becomes a confusion in the minds of the people. It's like spiritual poisoning that they can't even hold which is true anymore. I can't best figure out. This person is telling me this. That is telling. It's a total confusion. So we see this evil in the church, even in the church, that the truth is not told in the church. You see, I have friends, not friends, but I have related with people of different religion. Let's say Hindus, for instance. I'm not saying they are best, and they cannot be. But what I'm pointing out is this. They go strictly by their teachings. Wherever you find a Hindu person, that person is doing the same thing the one in America is doing or the one in Japan is doing. They are all doing the same thing, no difference in their worship of their gods. If you talk about the Muslim, the same thing. They uphold what they don't have denominations. They don't have different interpretations or private interpretation to their scriptures, just like Christians do today. So my problem is this, and that is the heartbeat of God, which is his main problem, that the shepherds are not leading the people the right way. They are not pointing the truth, because if the Spirit of God is in the church, what I hear this pastor taught is what I'm going to hear the other pastor taught. Is the same thing I'm going to hear, the same interpretation, but here is the case. It's all different interpretations. So let's even put the world aside. The church itself is corrupt. The church itself has not known the truth yet to a very large extent. Because if the church had known the truth, see, all this evil in the world today would not be happening. Because the church would stand up and speak against it. Now we have atheists, like you earlier mentioned. We have atheists. They give laws. They tell the government what they want. And the government institutes that for them. But the church cannot stand and say, we don't want this. The atheists are those who do all kinds of atrocity on the land. They tell what they want. They take this to the government. They take this to the lawyers and to the judges. This must be done. This is what I want. You must institute this. But Christians are as silent and as, you know, as quiet as graveyards, because they don't want to talk. So this thing has more evil on the land, and God is depending on us. The Bible said the earth waits for the earnest manifestation of the sons of God. The earth is crying still because the manifestation of the sons of God is not awakening. They are all still sleeping. Everybody is still down to the grave. Nobody is talking. Nobody wants to talk because nobody wants to get into trouble. But Jesus said, if you love me, if you want to reign with me, you must suffer with me so that you reign with me. But nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to point out the truth. And even the pastors, they see somebody sinning, doing what is against the commandment of God. They wouldn't talk about it because they feel like it's that person's business. It's that person's choice. Why then are you a shepherd? Why then are you a pastor? If you can't rebuke sins, is that not your purpose of being a minister? They don't rebuke sins because of finances, because of money.
So
these are the problems God is looking to. And he's really fed up with what is happening today. And I can tell you the truth that he revealed this to me, that he's coming, and he said he's coming quickly. Tell the church to get themselves ready. Those who are interested, get them ready. So this...
Justice.
I'm sorry I took that from you. Please go
on. No, that's okay. I mean, I love your passion. I love you. I love what you're saying. I love your passion. I love your drive. But we don't have a lot of time. So I want you to tell my audience about your book. Where can we find your book? And do you have a website so people can get in touch with you and learn your message?
Yes, I do have my website. The book is only gotten on my website now, which is www.finalgospelindepthera.com. If you want me to say it again, www.finalgospelindepthera.com. And that is my website.
Okay, and you...
And then my
Your book. Talk about your book.
Right. Well, what I would say about this book, I would just use the front cover to say this, that a lot of people don't like this book because the main cover itself is not what they like. Prepare yourself against the coming apocalypse. See, like I've established already, there are many books out there that talked about the apocalypse, but one thing is missing.
Yeah.
And that which is missing is prepare yourself against it. All right, a lot of prophecies, a lot of talks about the, you know, apocalypse, which is very true. But one thing is this, prepare yourself against it. And who are those to prepare against this coming apocalypse? And the caption here, the subtitle of the book is The Curses of the Spiritual Bastards and the 400 Years Generational Curse of Those Born Bastards. This is something a lot of people don't want to hear because many people think, oh, I'm not a bastard. I am not a spiritual bastard. But believe me, many who had come to me told me I'm a born bastard. I always say this to them. See, if you are not, can you measure and trace back your 400 years ago and see if truly you are not a born bastard? Because the scripture, I believe in every words of God. He said, Jesus told us in Matthew 4:4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Which is to say that we don't eliminate any of God's words or omit any of God's words. We live by them on a daily basis. So once God has spoken, what he said never returns to him void. Just as he would not change, the same way his words or commandments will not change. God instituted this that 400 years, those born illegitimately would not enter into the congregation of the righteous. It's in the book.
Justice, do you have another book? Are you working on another book?
I am working on another book, yes.
Okay. What do you think about writing? Do you, in general, do you love writing? Do you think you're going to be doing it in the near future?
Actually, writing is a hobby to me. Before I started writing this book, I do write screenplays. I have written a lot of screenplays, which I have stored somewhere, you know, waiting for the time God will let me make the movies. I think writing is a hobby, and I love it so much. It's something I want to, you know, take as my, you know, main job and, you know, spread the gospel through it.
Yeah, it's a great thing, man. And I want to thank you for being on the show. And I want to thank you for sharing your passion and everything. I mean, you were great. You were wonderful. I thought you, my listeners out there, I'm pretty sure they were riveted by this because you're talking about the apocalypse, the end of the world. And I do think at some point it's going to explode. But when and where and how, I don't know. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure, you know, we can't go on being like this, you know. So I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate you bringing me on.
No problem. You are great. Bye-bye. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, Justice Onoye on the show. I'm pretty sure I'm mispronouncing his name, but that's as close as I can get. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank him so much for his passion and his great, great insight to the end of the world. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be American. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. All right, let me mention a few more of these books on my show. Neil James, 12 Days. Rekaya Gibson, Mama Don't Like Ugly. Okay. You know what? A lot of people submitted their books to be mentioned on this show. Some people submitted the book, the same book, more than once, four or five times. And then some people are submitting all their books. You know, I'm only going to call one book out per author if I can do it at all. Okay. All right. Richard McStay, Survivors of the Flight 387. Richard McStay, Survivors of the Flight of Flight 387. Okay. All right. We're doing the best I can. All right, folks. Dave Sterner. He has a book on Amazon, 19 million words or something like that. Nearly all military history. He writes military history. That's great. It's on Amazon. Tyler Mills, Tongue, Larry, Larray. Okay. Tyler Mills. Okay. Okay. We have Lois Corain, Destin. To Love Again. Okay, that's Nicola C. Matthews, Hell's Ballad, Amazon. Regina Gill Mixon. And her book is, let me try it. I'm looking for it. Okay, all righty. Okay, she's on Amazon. Okay, Nothing is Strange, Mike Russell, Terry Shames, Unsettling Crime for Samuel Craddock. Okay, I'm doing as many as I can, folks. We're gonna be doing this all week, and we're gonna try to find a better way of doing it because, you know, we're gonna maybe I should try another way of just calling them out, but we're gonna do it, and MC Simon, How to Reach Your Writing Goals Like a Pro, Step-by-Step Guide to Becoming an Author. It's on Amazon. Brenda K. Winters, Fascinating Art of Raising Tropical Fish. She's always interesting. She's always interesting. Brenda K. Winters. I think we've done some things together. Her book is, and she's got a lot of them. She claims I believe she's got over 200, you know, and her book is on Amazon. It's The Fascinating Art of Raising Tropical Fish. If you're into that kind of thing, Check it out. Okay. All right. We're going to do this and we will be right back with some more. And we're going to be doing this all week, folks. So if you haven't heard your book mentioned on the George Wilder Jr. Show, it will be, there's no doubt about it. I can't get to them all because there's so many, but I'll get to what I can. Okay. We will be right back.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb.
There are oceans and rivers
enough to cross.
Enough to land.
Enough to last
till the end of time.
What the
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All I know a lot of people have already heard about these Facebook murders. I mean, this is killer. His name is Steve Stevens. It's a nationwide manhunt for this guy. The guy murdered an elderly man, 74 years old, you know, and he's on the run. And he did it on Facebook Live. I mean, I think Facebook Live is a good thing. It's a good ad. It's a good addition to Facebook. But a lot of people are just misusing it. They're abusing it. And I knew this would happen. I knew that this is not the first time a killing or something like this has happened on Facebook Live. People are just crazy. They're nutty. They're stupid. And they're messing up a good thing. A lot of people are using Facebook Live. Millions of people out there are using Facebook Live in a positive manner to meet good people. Then you got these assholes out there who are doing something devious on Facebook Live. I mean, people are being sexually assaulted, raped on Facebook Live, killed on Facebook Live. Some people they're taking a good thing and just screwing it up for everybody else because they want to be killers and murderers. And I'm thinking at some point, Facebook Live is going to be so abused that Facebook is going to take it down. They're going to take it down. I haven't used it. I've got it. It's on my Facebook page, but I haven't used it. You know, so I haven't used it, but I know a lot of people have used Facebook Live, and I see it in my feed, Facebook Live. But, you know, to use something like this that is meant to enhance your experience on this website, on this social media site, Facebook, and to use it for crime, in your face crime, is just pathetic. And people don't realize when they post their crimes on Facebook, on YouTube, or any social networking site, they're as good as caught. You know, the law enforcement authorities, they are giddy when you post your crimes on Facebook, because they have got you. They got your name, they got your address, they got everything about you. They got your friends, that you know. You're stupid if you post your crime on Facebook Live. You're just saying, hey, wow, come put the handcuffs on me. But, you know, you got a lot of people out here who are just demented with Alzheimer's. I'm not talking about the elderly people either. Some of these young people who do these kind of crazy things on these social networking sites and feel as if they're not going to get caught. They're crazy. They're crazy. And for somebody like this guy to take this elderly gentleman's life is just crazy. It's crazy. Crime, 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 crime. I'm like my guests. I don't think this is going to be able to stand. I mean, it's just so much is going on. It's just so much. It's just so backwards in the world. It's a backwards world, and so much is backwards. We got to start going frontwards, and we're going to continue to go backwards until we fall down that cliff in back of us, in the rear. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. We've been talking about the Facebook Live murders and the crime that are committed on Facebook Live. And I think, like I just got through saying, I do think Facebook Live is a great addition to Facebook, but you know, you got people out there just giving it a bad name, and that may cause Facebook to take it down. And I, you know, if they take it down, I wouldn't blame them one bit. You know, they're messing it up for people who are using Facebook Live for positive things. You know, positive things. You're going to have more people out there using it for positive things, and I believe using it for something negative like crime. But let's just hope they catch this guy. I mean, let's just hope they get this fucker, because that's what he is. This man, this elderly man, was not bothering him. This man was on his way home, and he didn't make it. because some guy wanted to kill him. Maybe the guy just wanted to kill him because he was elderly. He was old. It could have been a hate crime against old people. Who knows? But anyway, it happened on Facebook Live. We'll find out later if this was an actual hate crime. You know, because seniors and the elderly are abused. That's no doubt about that. They are abused just like women are in some domestic violence situations. So let's hope they catch this guy. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to thank my guest, Justice Onoye. I'm saying Onoye, and he's saying something different, but it's spelled the same, so I'm just breaking it up in syllables, trying to do my best with it. All righty. Let's all help to make the world a better place. And I agree with some of the things he say that about the corruption, the crime, everything that's going on in America and around the world, actually. And it's just I don't think it's going to go on forever. You know, so we'll just have to see where that goes. We got to see where that goes. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Block Talk Radio. It's just astonishing to some of the things that we are endeared to now in this world. I'm going to play a little bit of this clip, just a little bit of it.
What keeps us healthy and happy as we go through life? If you were going to invest now in your future best self, where would you put your time and your energy? There was a recent survey of millennials asking them what their most important life goals were. And over 80% said that a major life goal for them was to get rich. And another 50% of those same young adults said that another major life goal was to become famous. And we're constantly told to lean into work, to push harder and achieve more. We're given the impression that these are the things that we need to go after in order to have a good life. Pictures of entire lives, of the choices that people make and how those choices work out for them, those pictures are almost impossible to get. Most of what we know about human life, we know from asking people to remember the past. And as we know, hindsight is anything but 20/20. We forget vast amounts of what happens to us in life, and sometimes memory is downright creative. But what if we could watch entire lives as they unfold through time? What if we could study people from the time that they were teenagers all the way into old age to see what really keeps people happy and healthy? We did that. The Harvard study of adult development may be the longest study of adult life that's ever been done. For 75 years, we've tracked the lives of 724 men. Year after year, asking about their work, their home lives, their health, and of course, asking all along the way without knowing how their life stories were going to turn out. Studies like this are exceedingly rare. Almost all projects of this kind fall apart within a decade because too many people drop out of the study, or funding for the research dries up, or the researchers get distracted, or they die, and nobody moves the ball further down the field.
All right, a few more. I'm calling up a few more books here. This book is also on Amazon. Karen Wasklowski. Okay, Darcy and Fitzwilliam. Darcy and Fitzwilliam's Tale of a Gentleman and an Officer. I hope I pronounced her name correctly. I may have not. Susan Keene, Finding Lizzie Smith, a Kate Nash mystery on Amazon. Finding Lizzie Smith, a Kate Nash mystery. All right, Joe Bonadonna, Mad Shadows 2. Durgo, the Dowser, and the Order of the Serpent. Wow, that sounds great. Let me read that again. Durgo, the Dowser, and the Order of the Serpent. Wow. Wow, this is fun. This is fun. I'm gonna find a. All right, I'm gonna find a better way of doing it. You know, so I don't get too crossed up in it, because this is my first time doing it. So, if you do something for the first time, you're doing it to find out a better way of doing it, so I can best kind of represent these people as having their books mentioned on my radio show. All right, here we go. I want to thanks to my guest. If you didn't hear this guy, he was really passionate about what he was saying, and you can podcast the show for later and listen to him. And if you didn't hear your book so far, either I didn't mention it, or you can the books that I did mention at the beginning of the show, just about. You can always podcast the show to see if your book was mentioned on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, it's 7:14 straight up a.m. p.m. in Chicago. P.m., not a.m. I'm screwing up. And it's cool. It's very cool. Everybody's wearing jackets, you know, but it's summer. They say it's going to be 75 degrees tomorrow. And wherever you are in the world, I hope everything's fine weather-wise and physically and, you know, and all that kind of thing. And I hope that things get better if they seem to be off track. And if things are better, bless you. You know, I mean, hey, wow, this is the world we live in, you know. And like I've just got through saying, be nice to one another. Be nice to one another. Be kind to one another. Be nice to one another. You know, it doesn't take too much to do that, you know, because we got too many people out here who seem as if they're always pissed off about something. And they're just pissed off to be pissed off, you ask me. Some people, not all people, because I think that the majority of the people in the world are very, very decent people, loving people, caring people. But we've got these assholes out there that's gumming up the works. So we have to be nice to one another. You know, I wish I can tell that to Donald Trump and Mike Pence, because these people, they don't know the meaning of nice or being kind or being helpful. It's all about bombs and nuclear weapons for these people. And when I was talking earlier with the guest on the show, and we were talking about the end of the world, my thoughts went straight to Donald Trump and Mike Pence, our president and vice president. Because if anybody's going to end this world, it's going to be those two, because they don't know what the hell they're doing. All right, let's talk about the Blackhawks. They are in the playoffs, but they are on the ropes because they're playing tonight. If they don't win tonight, they are out of the playoffs. You know, it's just that simple. So everybody's kind of rooting for the Chicago Blackhawks and kind of praying for them. And since I'm in Chicago and I'm a Chicagoan, of course I want them to win. But, you know, these guys have been getting Stanley Cups almost consecutively. So if they lose, if they don't make it, it's fine. They've done their diligence in the past. But it would be nice to have another Stanley Cup in Chicago. I mean, you got some great Blackhawk fans and you got some great players. That was a time when there weren't many hockey fans. You know, hockey was a white sport, and in some instances it still is, but you don't find many African-American players out there doing hockey, skating around on that ice, competing, You know, you don't see it like you see in football, African Americans that you see in basketball. You don't see that on a hockey team. I guess African Americans can't skate. Is that the deal? But anyway, a lot of African Americans are fans of hockey. Not that many, a few, you know, like salt and pepper maybe, but African-Americans are becoming fans of the Blackhawks. I'm a fan. I'm an African-American, and I'm a fan of the Blackhawks. You know, maybe I'm just a fan of this team because I'm in Chicago, and another reason I'm a fan is because they're winning, and we all like people and teams who win, you know, so. And they're winners. The Blackhawks are winners, and they are contenders, and they are champions regardless whether they make it into the playoffs or they lose tonight. And that throws them out of the competition completely until next year. So it's make or break for them tonight. If they want to continue to go after that Stanley Cup, it's make or break for them tonight. And if they're on television, I'm going to tune them in, you know, so because I don't know if they're playing. I haven't got the information on if they're playing away or if they're playing at home, but we'll find that out later on. So I'm going to say go Blackhawks and the Chicago Cubs. They won the World Series last year, but they have actually slowed down a little bit. I mean, they have been, I think they've lost their third or fourth game in a row. And maybe John Madden is not the messiah that everybody thought he was managing the Chicago Cubs. Robocalls. Yeah, I get robocalls. I get them all the time. I get them on my cell phone. If I see a number on my cell phone that I do not recognize, more likely I do not pick them up. I do not answer the phone. If I see a number I don't recognize, I would say if this is a legitimate call, the person would leave a voicemail. And more likely that's the truth. If you see a number on your cell phone and you don't recognize it, if it's a legitimate number, they will leave you a voicemail. They will leave you a voicemail. And the thing is, some of these robocalls, a lot of these robocalls, they also leave voicemails. But at least I didn't have to talk to these people live. Yeah, I get a lot of robocalls. I'm pretty sure you do too. But a lot of times I don't answer them, you know, and they leave voice messages, some of them, and I just delete them. There are ways where you can stop these robocalls by going into your phone and blocking certain calls. And you can also get on a do not call list, you know. But I was on a do not call list, but they still get into me. They still get in. And these people have no shame. When they're doing this, these robocalls and these people behind these robocalls, they have no shame. They don't care. They just call. And a lot of people get taken like this. I mean, if you don't have common sense, if you can't realize that these are fake calls, these are scam calls, then you're going to get taken. You're going to get taken. So if you see a number on your cell phone that you don't recognize, do not answer it. If it's a legitimate call, they will leave a voicemail. You know, and more likely some of these robocalls, just a few of them, they will not leave a voicemail because they want to talk to you live because they want to print your voice. You know, they want you to say yes so they can drain your bank account. But you have to. You really have to be on your P's and Q's. There are so many people who are taken by these calls, who have their accounts dried because of these calls, falling for these scams. You know, so Watch out, watch yourself out there, because these guys and girls are coming after you, and they're coming after what they think you have. It doesn't matter. They have no shame. They have no mercy. They have no nothing. They're just criminals out to take what they think you have. And they're going to do that by any means necessary. Watch out for those robocalls. They're coming. They're here. And they come all the time, every day. On my phone, at least. They come in every day. Somebody's calling me every day. If I answered, hey, Mr. Wilder Reese, and blah, 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 I just hang up on them. You know, because we know what they're about. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to have some more of these. Books that I'm going to mention on the show tomorrow and all week. We're going to try to get to every one of them, you know, if I can. But there's going to be some I'm not going to be able to get to. And if I don't get to your book, I'm very, very sorry. Maybe we can try it again sometime in the future, and that'll happen. But it's been fun, folks. It's been great. I enjoyed my guest. I enjoyed calling out your book and all that kind of thing. We're going to try this again tomorrow, and I'm not going to be able to get to everybody because I have to. I have a commitment to doing the show and to some people, you know, out there, and we have to pay the bills, right? All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are something that's always popping up here. We are something always popping up. I'm hoping that nothing is wrong here, because something is always popping up. Dialogue box or something popping up on the computer, and I'm trying to click off of it. And sometimes it goes, sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, I hope you guys join me tomorrow. We're going to call out more books people have submitted. And I want to thank my guest. He was very passionate. And hopefully he'll be back on the show sometime in the future.
Bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. From the mighty and the mighty from the small.
listening. Thank you to my guests and all of you. Bye-bye. Check me out tomorrow. Take care, everybody.